I'm in a current events group that meets once a week, and I have been bombarding these folks with 9/11. And one man who is very articulate, very bright, who is kind of a leader of the group, has said finally, he said, "Your evidence is very strong, but I still don't believe it." And I said, "Well, why don't you believe it?" He says, "People can't be that evil."
Very interesting.
Getting back to this left brain acting as the spin doctor, do you think that that process is going on within the powers that be, the Dick Cheney, or we're saying, we're doing this because to save American civilization, to save the world? Do they actually think they're doing good, or are they just evil incarnate?
Well, it depends who you mean by they, because there's even a difference between Bush and Cheney. Like, Cheney has a brain. So the oligarchy, I believe it was Ralph Schoenman who said, is it 5,000 people or 5,000 families? 5,000 individuals. It's probably as good a figure as any, are essentially in charge of this country and a great deal of the world. Probably the top 1% the top 0.11% or something. And so they're going to vary a lot. Some are out-and-out psychopaths, as Alex Jones asserted that John Yoo is. And if Alex was quoting him correctly, it does seem to really fit the pattern of an out-and-out psychopath. And so there are a number of them in the White House. But there are others who I think, and they're just so involved in their own world of power and greed that I don't think they even have time to wonder. It's not of any concern to them whether they're telling the truth. It would never dawn on them that that's a consideration that they should keep in mind. Their instinct is to lie, to cheat, to deceive, that use that whole skill set. That is their world. Morality doesn't enter into it, and so on. But then there are others, I would say they, to generalize, are, I believe everything's on a continuum. Almost everything can be said to be on a continuum. And so each of us shares, to one degree or another, a huge number of these characteristics and tendencies, as Thomas Berry calls them. So we're all victims, and we're all perpetrators. Nobody can escape either of those. It's just a matter of degree. To what extent are we victimized, by whom, when, and in what ways? And we're perpetrators. Just by living our lifestyle alone, we're perpetrating poverty on others. And by buying all those cheap goods. It really bothers me that I heard on TV, where I get some of my information, the other day, that one of the reasons that inflation has been held down to a considerable extent in recent years is that on average, prices of computers and all the accessories drop by 1% a month. And we know that. Well, somebody's producing these things, and partly it's improved efficiency, but partly it's because there are more and more outsourcing of jobs to people who are making a few bucks a day.
And it's an unsustainable model.
It's unsustainable. There's so much that's unsustainable about our present system. Really, our present system is an illusion.
We're getting ready to go into a period of hyperinflation.
Well, they don't report M3 money anymore. The Federal Reserve, when Bernanke came to power, that's a big, that signals to me that the crash is probably happening fall, quarter four, 07 will be when the rubber meets the road and 1929 repeats itself.
That's my prediction
based on reading the financial papers every day.
Who can confidently say you're wrong? Yeah. Nobody.
One thing you got to remember is this group that is controlling everything, they have a godlike demeanor that they're controlling the world population by reducing that world population, and they're actively attempting that, and 9/11 was part of it. Can you comment on that?
Well, this is a pretty controversial area, I find, among my friends in the 9/11 truth movement. I don't have any doubt that the oligarchy has plans and to a great extent has assembled the means of mass extermination. Hitler did it, and these people are right in the footprints of Hitler. They're a direct outgrowth of the Hitler project.
They were part of Hitler's life. Now, the American corporations probably made more money off Hitler than they did off of, than anybody else, than German people.
This was when I first began, sometime in the late 60s and early 70s, to begin to get a little bit wise about the oligarchy and about the corporate project, when I read a book called Trading with the Enemy by Charles Higham. Did anybody here read that? A terrific book, Trading with the Enemy. And then he wrote another one called American Swastika. And, of course, I was 12 years old when the Second World War ended. My dad was in the Royal Canadian Air Force, squadron leader. Came out with an honorable discharge, by the way, RCAF. And within months, the Mounties were harassing him. He was a clergyman, United Church clergyman. And within months, the Mounties were harassing him because he was left wing. And already the Cold War had set in. And they tried to claim he wasn't paying his income tax. I'm doing the Agents of the State event tomorrow. So I'll save that for them. But anyway, American Swastika is Charles Higham's. Charles Higham has written about 30 books, but Trading with the Enemy was the first. And I don't know if they're out of print, but you can probably get them through Abe Books. Abe Books.
And one other thing, it is reported that Gerald Posner is CIA.
Oh, absolutely.
Charles, at the very minimum, Gerald Posner is given masses of information by the CIA. The CIA is his research department. Yeah.
Barry, could you go on with your presentation?
Well, do you know what? The fact is that I probably had come to the end of my presentation. Remember, the third one was about how we think. So I'm happy to have this discussion, although I might have a few questions, too, that I'd like to ask you guys. I thought of one a few minutes ago, and now I've forgotten it again. This happens when you're a geezer. It'll come to me, I guess.
Familiar with a technology called HARP?
Yes.
Referring to his question about the extermination of the population.
Yeah.
What do you know about that, and have you studied it? Do you know much?
I believe HARP exists, and I forget it's high altitude something or other, and certainly energy, there's different forms of energy, and in one form it can be transmitted electronically, can bounce off the ionosphere or whatever. They kept it quite secret for a long time. I don't know how fatal it could be. I don't know the lethality side of it. I welcome that, but let me just say something in line with what you said. This is an overview session, so I'm telling myself, and I'm asking you people, let's not get too detailed into one thing, because let's stick with the overview in the 15 minutes we have left. But let him tell about HARP, okay?
Okay. HARP means High Altitude Auroral Research Project, and it's in, right now, Gakona, Alaska, run remotely by the University of Fairbanks.
Air Force.
Thank you very much. And, of course, there's more to it than that. I do want to go back to the question of population, because I don't think I finished on that. And that is an overview question. Okay. If there was no oligarchy, if there was no horrible corporate project that causes such a distortion of the distribution of wealth on Earth and so on, I think that humanity would still be in a bit of a jam because of overpopulation. Now, what do we mean overpopulation? What do I mean overpopulation? It has to do with how many people the Earth can actually sustain, and I know there are many, many factors that feed in there. One of the most important of which is petroleum, because essentially we are eating oil. I mean, that is what the fertilizer is made from. So it's very complicated. But I personally think that even if there was a just social system, there would be recognized, let us say, by the world truly democratized assembly of persons and nations would recognize that our human numbers had become a problem on our earth. Okay? I don't think that that can be explained away. There's something called overshoot and die-off. And I remember one time I had a lot of these nice beans in a glass jar. They're these beautiful beans. They were brown with white eyes and everything. And it was just a pretty thing that I set on the sunroom ledge. Well, I noticed one day there's actually a bug or two in there, and they were eating these beans. And so I came back each morning, and more of the beans would be eaten, and they were leaving sort of sawdust residue behind and their own excrement. And the bugs proliferated, and more until the glass, I just left it as it was, it had a lid on it, until this glass jar was just half filled with just sawdust and excrement. And then the last day, the water just suddenly condensed on the glass, and all was dead. This little colony of bugs had gone into overshoot and die off. And we're no different, essentially. And we haven't brought our own, we haven't found enough ways, especially no thanks to the Roman Catholic Church, to restrain our numbers. But it does happen automatically, so that the birth rate in Canada now is below replacement. So that's one of the reasons we encourage immigration.
And true in Europe as well?
In Poland, in the USSR, former USSR, and so on, yes. But also the birth rate will drop in response to economic good times. When people don't have to have six children to support them, they'll only have two. Now, I have to confess that a long time ago, I was a member of the World Population Council, and that was funded by the Rockefellers. I didn't know any better. It was a long time ago. I'm sorry. But on the other hand, some of what we knew in the World Population Council was true. And I remember, perhaps it was the WPC or perhaps it was Planned Parenthood that said, one child is enough, two is just right, three is too many, and more than three is irresponsible. And I remember my wife and I said, we're going to have three kids. We both agreed on that. But we had two, and that was it. The thing is that there are too many human beings, if you want to put it that way, or not enough resources distributed equitably. All those things are involved for us to sustain. And the farmland is being paved over, even in my province of Ontario. They're still paving over farmland close to the city. It's crazy. And the developers are still in the saddle. So I think that population is a real problem. Human overpopulation is a real problem. The human beings, we just haven't had the foresight, the knowledge, haven't put it all together in order to deal with that separate. You know what, there are a couple of other hands up, and I love what you say, but I want to give other people a chance. Well, you too. So are there others? Sure.
Okay. Well, this really boils down to what you said before, and that is how we think. Because unless we evolve to another part of our brain, which actually can be obtained by medication, it keeps the aggressive side down. And it also allows you to accept the other people for what they are. Because what I even notice in this movement is, oh, but so-and-so is now better than so-and-so, and why is so-and-so not working in it? This is, you know, it is all faulty thinking. The same about the population. We allow the church to think for us. So it's an evolution of our thought.
Yeah, I think we evolve or die. That's it. We evolve or die, or say learn or die. It can be summed up, I think, in a bumper sticker. Was there...